Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Religion finds a way into the news, whether it is the story of the so-called Ground Zero Mosque or the recent Pew Forum survey on U.S. religious knowledge that found that skeptics, atheists, and agnostics tend to know just about as much as the devout Christian about the Christian religion. It is in the news almost every month, something having to do with religion in general or Christianity in particular. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Back live on this Monday afternoon, January the 3rd. In a few minutes, we'll be talking with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about the top 10 religion stories, according to the Religion News Writers Association. In the meantime, we're going to hear from you, our listeners, from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. First, a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line, which is a line that we leave open for everybody, anybody, any listener, any time, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. The number 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384 for questions, comments, show suggestions, criticism, ideas. Even if you're listening to something on demand months after it's aired originally and you have a question or a comment, that's what the comment line is for, 618-223-8384. And up first, a comment from a listener on pastors using foul language.
Hi, fellas. This is Steve Fox, and I had a question. Actually, something's been bothering me for a while. Over the course of the last 3-4 months, I've heard 3 or 4 different pastors that I respect an awful lot use profanity. And I know it's very hard for me not to. The verse that really helped me was James 1:26-27. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And if you guys could just comment on that, maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. It's not the, lack of a better word, the worst words. It's usually the four-letter words we all try to avoid. The fact that I've heard some very, very well-known pastors that I love and really respect use that type of language, it's just bothering me. So comment or leave it alone, but I just thought I'd use your line to get it out in the open. Thanks much. Bye.
It's a great question, by the way. Now, in interest of full disclosure, I was sitting watching the Rams lose yesterday and lose miserably yesterday. And if my memory serves, a few colorful pieces of vocabulary escaped my lips at crucial bad moments, down moments in that game. So I am as guilty as the next guy. I'm also a pastor. But the passage that you quote from James chapter 1, verse 26, about learning to bridle the tongue, and James has a lot of things to say about the tongue. A mighty evil, like a tiny spark that sets entire forests on fire. It's like the rudder that can, a tiny little rudder that can steer a ship or steer a ship onto the rocks. The tongue, he says, is not the source of our evil, but it is, as Jesus would teach us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of your mouth indicates what's exactly in your heart. Jesus says it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of a man that defiles him. And then he gives a long list of things. Some of those things are things we say, slanders, wickedness, all of the ways we express ourselves. And when we use that term express ourselves, I think we as Christians should take that very seriously. What comes out of our mouth indicates what's in the heart. Now, what does it teach us? It teaches us that pastors are sinners too. Any pastor who will not admit to being one shouldn't be a pastor. He hardly could call himself a Christian if he won't admit to being a sinner. Now, sometimes those admissions are inadvertent, or sometimes they're careless, and that is by the use of foul language, four-letter words. Even pastors betray what's in the heart. You cannot say it's not in there if it comes out of you. So, in the case of the pastor, though, we need to recognize something else. It's kind of like the case of the Christian writ larger, and that is what comes out of a Christian's mouth says what's in the heart, but it also is what a Christian is always confessing. And for these things to come out of our mouths, and they do, indicates not only that we're sinners in need of the Savior Jesus Christ, but also that we tend to foul our confession. With the same mouth, you glorify God, says James, and then with the same mouth, you curse your neighbor. This can't be, he says. You can't get fresh water and foul water from the same spring. So which kind of spring are you? You can't get bad fruit and good fruit from the same tree. Good tree, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. Well, Christians are both at the same. Sinners and saints. Our saintliness, because God has declared us perfectly righteous for Christ's sake. Our sinnerness, that's all us. So, pastors cause offense when they allow their lips to be loose, especially when it comes to foul language. They cause an offense because what comes out of their mouth by the call of God is the Word of God, preached, proclaimed, taught. And a Christian, a parishioner, is perfectly within their rights to be offended and to question a pastor when on Sunday morning he's preaching the pure Word of God in long gospel, and then on Monday afternoon they hear him on the golf course uttering profanity. It's the same mouth. And that mouth is called and set aside and sanctified for God's word, not for our own words, be they words of our own invention or words, those foul words that find their way out of our heart and out of our lips and onto the ears of our neighbor. We Christians are always confessing. What we confess and what we say and do says something about us, and it says what we think, what we truly believe about our God. Pastors held to a higher standard in this regard, and I include, again, myself in that indictment. Next from the Issues Etc. comment line, some show suggestions.
Hey guys, this is Brady from Minnesota. First of all, I wanted to thank you for all of the resources throughout the season of Advent. It's been very helpful when I'm a pastor up in Minnesota and been able to preach on Christ from the Old Testament from a great perspective. So thank you for all those resources, and especially this upcoming week. Look forward to more of those. I had two requests for something maybe for next Christmas and maybe a little bit for Easter. First of all, maybe something to do with how much should we have Santa in a Christian home? And maybe not necessarily you have final answer, maybe how to open lines, or how do you talk about that as Christians, because many people will still have Santa, and how does that work? Secondly, is to be able to get a perspective from somebody or various people on traditions during the Christmas and maybe even Easter season, to keep it in the home, focus on Christ. Not about the Easter Bunny, not about Santa, not about consumerism, but it's all about Christ. And so just different ideas, you know, lighting candles, devotions, whatever it might be. What do you do in your home, and therefore be a great opportunity for everybody to understand better what other people are doing and maybe incorporate in their own home. So that's my quest, and I pray all is well, and Merry Christmas. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. That's a great suggestion, by the way. It's a very good audio open lines question about Santa Claus What do Christians do with him? I mean, he's there. He's in the culture. Do you ignore him? Do you incorporate him in somehow? We were driving across the country recently. We saw an awful lot of those kneeling Santa Clauses at the manger. I think it's a well-meaning but kind of a silly attempt to bring Santa Claus into the real Christmas. I was not raised with the real Santa Claus. I was raised with the fake one. I was raised with the one that was never real. He was always as fictional as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. He wasn't ignored. He just wasn't taken seriously. It was never considered anything more than just a fictional character. I think that's probably the best way for Christians to deal with it. Very early on to say, look, here's a cute little character, kind of like the story in one of your Disney books or Muppet Babies. They're not real. They're just fictional characters. But there they are. That's fine and good as long as they remain fiction. The fact of Christmas can never be confused with the fiction of Christmas. Now, some Christians would say you can't have Santa Claus at all because in one way or the other, he's going to displace the Christ child. No, I think we simply make the distinction between real people and fictional people. Jesus is a real person. Santa Claus is a fictional person. What's more dangerous, I think, is the Santa Claus theology that finds its way into Christian theology, not just at Christmas, but year-round, where God is turned essentially into a Santa Claus who sees you when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake and knows when you've been bad or good and is keeping his list and checking it twice and rewarding you accordingly. It's kind of like the God of the purpose-driven life. He's watching you and deciding whether or not to reward you based upon your behavior. That's a Santa Claus. That isn't the true God. That's not even really a very good Santa Claus. But that's the greater danger, turning God into a Santa Claus who's simply there to reward you for your good behavior and to give you that spiritual lump of coal for your bad behavior. No, the true God does not deal with us in this way. He sees us when we're sleeping. He knows when we're awake. He knows when we've been bad or good. And he forgives our sins for Christ's sake. When we come back, the top 10 religion stories from 2010, Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service will be our guest. Stay tuned. If you call, I will answer.
If you fall, I'll pick you up. Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.